Ross.
That's a cool name.
Good morning, guys. Actually, good afternoon. Got to be accurate. Got to be proper and correct. Good afternoon, guys.
Good afternoon.
All right. Hey.
Hello.
There we go. All right. I just don't know how to use one of these things. They never give me one of these. I take up too much time. So I'm not going to take up a lot of time, but we are going to take some time to thank our food team, the ladies over there, and make it so that we can come in here. Who knows why we serve food? Anybody remember? We talk about it occasionally. The reason we serve food is so that you can bring your buddy with you. That you can invite someone and say, let me take you to lunch. And you can bring them. And that's why we do it. That's why we do it every week, to make it convenient for you to bring a pal. So today we are blessed to have Pastor Nikki Farmer here. Nikki, come on up. We're going to pray. And then I'm going to turn the mic over to you. You know how to use these things. I'm not as good at it. So let's pray. Father, thank you so much, God, for this time. It is such a privilege, Lord, to be able to just carve out time, sit with you, hear from you, to focus on your word, to study your word, to draw closer to you, God, as you speak to us, as we listen to you, and as we pour out our hearts to you. God, I pray that Pastor Nikki's message will come straight from the throne of heaven, that it will go straight to our hearts, God, that the things that he has to say, Lord, will strike us in a godly way, and that your word will accomplish the purpose for which you sent it. So, Lord, have your way. This is holy ground, and we invite your spirit in. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Dick. Can everybody hear me okay?
Yep. Good.
Yes. Got to get my eyes on here. So, it's good to see everyone again. It's been a few years. I've spoken here before, but sad to say, there's a few less tables here than there was last time I was here. We need to keep this in our prayers, don't we?
Yeah.
Just make this opportunity available to as many men as possible. But I don't know all of you, but some of you I recognize, some of you I know. Glad to shake some hands and say hi at the beginning. And I'm kind of humbled because the ones that I do know, there's some godly men in this room. I appreciate that. And I feel kind of humbled to share what I'm going to share today. It might not be for everyone. I hope it encourages all of you to some extent, but we'll get right into some things here. So see what we got here. I'm going to start off by reading some Bible verses. There's some verses on the sheet right there on front of you. I'm going to read them in a slightly different order. Let's start with Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, which reads, "For freedom, Christ has set us free." Amen? "Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." Galatians 5:1. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3, King James says, "But fornication and all uncleanness," everybody say all.
All.
Everybody know the Greek for all? Pastor Ned, you're a scholar. What's the Greek for all?
All.
All. But all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be named once among you as becometh saints. And then again, the New International says, not even a hint of sexual immorality, nor of any kind of impurity. And then 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I took that from the Passion Translation, which is, it's a bit of a paraphrase, but it is good all the same. It says there, "For you already know the instructions we shared with you through the Lord Jesus. God's will for you, is for you to be set apart for him in holiness, that you keep yourselves unpolluted from sexual defilement. Yes, each of you must guard your sexual purity with holiness and dignity, not yielding to lustful passions like those who don't know God. Never take selfish advantage of a brother or sister in this matter, for we've already told you, and solemnly," Paul says, "solemnly warned you that the Lord is the avenger in all these things." So the talk that I want to share with you men today is called Not Once. And I think you can already guess roughly where I'm going to be heading with this from the scriptures we read. But I want to start off with the gospel. I want to start off with the underlying gospel issue. And that is why I included Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Now, did anybody here see the... This is not in my notes, by the way, so give me an extra 2 minutes for this part. Did anybody see the Braveheart movie that came out in the 90s with the Scottish guy? Mel Gibson's in it, you know? And some of you might be having some flashbacks because you've got a Scottish guy talking about... freedom! There you go. But this is a key underlying gospel issue. Reading this verse recently in a men's group, it really struck me because of all the instructions that we think of to be godly and for godly living, it's easy to overlook the fact that Jesus Christ has called us to fight for freedom. If we want to worship Jesus Christ, we are invited to plumb the depths of the fullness of the gift that he has bought and paid for with his own blood when he died on the cross to pay for our sins and to bring us into unbroken communion with him. Right? It's not just about giving our hearts to Jesus. It's about a life of unbroken communion. That's what Jesus Christ wants from us, with us, and it's why he was willing to pay so dearly. What an expensive gift. Let's think for a minute about the expense of that gift so we can value it. We know that those wounds are still on his resurrection body. Yes? Because as he sits at the right hand of the Father, if you can imagine that, all of us are going to get a perfect resurrection body. But Jesus Christ, the Son of God, showed in his resurrection body the wounds that were still there to the disciples. It blows my mind. It cost him dearly. It cost him dearly. I wonder about the price that it cost him when he was willing to experience separation from his beloved Father, something totally unknown to him, forever past and forever future, on that cross that day. As he fully recovers, if that's possible, from the price he paid, I even wonder if he still has flashbacks to that moment of separation. Oh, what a terrible price he paid. Such is the love that God has, not just for the whole world, but for... Say your name. Say your name.
That's my God.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is what Christ wants us to never forget, the price that he paid. For the love of Jesus Christ, he wants us to fight for the full benefit of what he bought and paid for so expensively. Now, getting back to our Galatians 5:1, we're told there that in light of this, we are to stand firm. That's what the Holy Spirit is telling us, to stand firm. Now, you guys have a really peculiar sport over here. You guys call it football, right? Football. Now, brother here is wearing a Cubs hat. And I'll tell you how much I know about football. I'm cheering for the Cubs to win the Super Bowl. Do you think they have a bigger chance of winning the Super Bowl than the World Series? All right, I don't know anything about this stuff, so forgive me if I'm stepping on any toes. I better get back to preaching here. Okay, here we go. Football, rugby. Yeah, you mentioned rugby. No pads and all that. But listen, those men have to stand. Like, if they're just going to come in so ignorantly and be like flat-footed like this, they're going to get knocked straight over, right? They've got to get themselves, you know, get the stance right with their weight right. So they're ready to stand. They're being trained. They're anticipating the hits that they're going to take. And they're ready to stand and they're ready to fight. That's what Galatians 5:1 tells us to be ready for, prepared for, and wanting to do for the love of Jesus Christ. It also says, do not submit. Don't submit. Don't just lie down and take it. Don't just be like, oh yeah, come on devil, come on flesh. I'll just lay here and take your cleats in my face. No, it says stand. Stand. Don't do that. And I'm sure there are several areas in our walk with Jesus Christ where we could apply this principle of the fight for freedom for the sake of Jesus Christ and the price that he paid so dearly for it. But we could probably agree that a large area is the sexual area, right? We read in Ephesians, the Christ-centered standard, which the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus calls us to, and it is zero failures. That is the goal. It's a high standard, but that's the height of the love of Christ and the atoning work of the cross and the grace of God to us. The New International that we read says, not even a hint. The King James said, not named once, not once. This was to the church in Ephesus, not once. Paul was saying, the Holy Spirit was saying, all you house churches in Ephesus, I don't want a single guy. Not once to be struggling with this, to be falling to this, to be bound in this, is what the Holy Spirit said to the church of Ephesus. But what about Kokomo? Not once. Can you imagine if it wasn't named once, mentioned once, and there was zero failures in any man, any of us here, or in any of the churches in Kokomo? I want to ask you, will you join me in believing and fighting for this in yourself and in your fellow men?
Yep.
Now, wait a minute, Paul. You don't know what we're up against in Kokomo in the year 2025. Oh, really? So this was said to the whole of the church of Ephesus, the home of the temple of Artemis. Remember, you learned about this from your Bible study and your study Bibles. The goddess of fertility. And our worship had a strong, as I believe with most all pagan worship, a strong sexual element. Ancient sources describe how the temple was associated with ritual prostitution. Pilgrims came from all over the Roman world to participate in feasts, festivals, and sexual rites tied to fertility. Not only that, but Ephesus was also a major port city and one of the wealthiest cities in the Roman Empire. It had trade, travel, tourism around the Artemis cult. And all this meant a stream of outsiders bringing loose morals and the anything-goes attitude, which was so common in the Greco-Roman culture. Brothels, taverns were common. And sex, one source says, was often transactional, recreational, and religiously sanctioned. Ooh. Roman society generally accepted sexual relationships outside of marriage, especially for men. Prostitution was legal and widespread. Homosexuality, bisexuality, and child exploitation, especially by men who with boys, were culturally tolerated. Does any of this sound familiar at all? Wow. Faithfulness in marriage was not the norm. Wives were expected to be faithful, but husbands often kept mistresses, visited prostitutes, or engaged in same-sex liaisons. Against this backdrop, Paul commanded in Ephesians 5, but sexual immorality and, everybody say the word, all, Greek for that, Ned, is all impurity or covetousness must not be named even once among you. Not once. That's the name of my talk today. Not once. This was a radical countercultural stance. He wasn't just saying avoid excesses. He was calling Christians to absolute purity in a society where sex was religion, commerce, and entertainment all at once. So yes, they knew what we were dealing with today too. Ephesus was also notorious for occult practices. We remember in Acts chapter 19 when they burned the scrolls. Remember that? In Ephesus. And that reminds us that sexual impurity is inextricably linked. Ooh, that's hard for even for a Scotsman to say. Inextricably linked with demonic warfare. Amen? Demonic warfare. Demonic strongholds. Sexual sin, men, is warfare. So how about in Kokomo today? Shouldn't we be fighting for one another until we can say that sexual impurity is not named once in Kokomo? Is that too much to believe for? Is that too high of a vision? To get or to keep ourselves clean sexually and to be fighting for fellow men in this area? I like to quote from the Conqueror series, this Battle Plan for Purity study guide. This here, these people are experts, ministers in this area, developed this curriculum for men, and have some revealing statistics to share with us. A study of over 3,000 data points discovered that 60 to 70% of men, 50 to 58% of pastors, and 20 to 23% even of women, get this, in evangelical churches, are sexually addicted. It's clear that there's an elephant in the room that needs to be spoken about. So, where are we at with that? I'll be honest with you guys. As I said when I came in here, some of you I know really respect as godly, seasoned men. I feel like I'm preaching to the choir here at Kokomo Huddle. You guys are already giving up your lunch hour to come here and to come out to hear the Word of God in the middle of the week. So, you know, maybe, who knows, there might even be one or two in this room who do have an active porn addiction. Maybe you don't. Maybe you just run into things on the internet from time to time. It's kind of hard not to, right? It comes looking for you. And get into localized struggles once a month, a handful of times a year, whatever it may be. Or maybe you are like me, and even going to the store with the way women dress today can cause you to have to be very intentional so that images don't get lodged in your mind where the devil can throw them back at you in the weak moments. Either way, whatever category you're in today, we are all on the same side in this war. Amen?
Amen.
One author called it, and I don't know if you've read this book, Every Man's Battle, right? Because it is every man's battle. And since we're on the same side, there's no condemnation. There's no shaming people. Our own conscience will do enough of that. We're here to cheer one another on. Amen. I remember being at a men's retreat once, and probably somewhat in excess of 24 hours into the retreat. You know how that works. Once the masks start coming off, once God actually has a chance to start working with people, between the talks, one man stood up and he says, "I need to confess something to everybody in the room. I need to tell people something that I've never told anybody in my life." Whoa, do you think that he had the attention of every man in the room? We're like, what's he going to say? He said, "I've been a porn addict since I was 8, 9, 10, 11 years old. When I looked at that man, I could hear the chains falling off. I could hear the chains falling off. It might have been a group about this size. Every guy in the room went over to this guy within seconds and got their arms around him and started to pray for him and exhort him and encourage him." That's what I'm talking about. We're on the same side in this war, right? We're all guys. We've all been there to some extent. We've all had to fight the fight. There's no shame. But I could hear the chains falling off, because what we keep secret has power over us. Remember Jesus said in the garden, "But this is the power of darkness." Hiddenness has a power over us. That's why when that guy stood up and prepared to say what he was going to say, I could hear the chains falling off. I said, "Oh, praise God, hallelujah. There's freedom in the room. Here it comes. Praise God." So I say that just to illustrate and remind us that we are indeed on the same side, supporting one another. Now, as I've said, I don't know what category you're in this fight, in this journey. You may not be a porn addict. You may be. I don't think porn is the unforgivable sin. Maybe, like me, you just realize the need to stay current on your purity. It's a challenge. Personally, I don't think that Jesus ever looks twice at a woman. The first glance of an attractive, inappropriately presented lady is your early warning radar. After that, it's your chance to fight for freedom, to fight for honor, to fight for your family, to fight for our nation, which has been so wrecked by sexual abuse. I know that all of us in our humanity like to rationalize our sin to the point where it's the other guy that's worse than us, right? That's called self-righteousness there. I know somebody that really needs to hear this. Well, I don't use porn. I just like looking at beautiful women with their clothes on. Okay, yeah, very good. I mean, I don't think Jesus mentioned how many clothes they had on when he said, if you look at a woman to lust after her, you've committed adultery with her in your heart. So let me just spell out some more to you. Because this is just not being spoken about at all. Well, forgive me, I wouldn't say at all. It seems like it's not spoken about enough. Like it's some kind of taboo. Now, I know it is a little bit uncomfortable in a mixed company, but there's plenty of opportunities at men's retreats and in a setting like this where I think it should come up from time to time just to keep us reminded and on the right track. It's like the elephant in the room that everybody knows is an issue, but few people are talking about it. Going back to my Conqueror series plan for biblical purity battle plan study guide, they kindly included an appendix in the back, and it talks about the Bible and sexual sin. And in that, it lays out and calls out in black and white where some of the lines are in this thing. Now, I'm not going to go through all of this right now, but I will mention it does call out masturbation and sexual fantasy. Okay? If you are masturbating in secret or substituting it for sex with your wife, then it is a sin and goes against biblical principles because, and it just goes through the list, whether it's shame, whether it's neurochemical release and addiction, whether it's violating God's purposes for sex and procreation, or whether it's opening doors to sexual sin, etc., etc. It deals with fantasy and some other things here, even in the context of the marital relationship, which may be inappropriate. All that to say, we like to rationalize our sins and say, well, it's the other guy's form that is the worst one, and I'm not that bad. But God is calling us. The good news is that we are in this together, and God can help. I heard a phrase once, it's okay not to be okay, but it's not okay to accept it and excuse it and reduce the grace that he wants to extend to each one of us. It can be tough. It is tough. You can have relapses. It's not just about trying harder. It's about supporting each other and getting the education and biblical perspectives that can help us put on the mind of Christ. But those who will get accountability partners around them, be transparent, commit themselves to walking in freedom and purity out of a love for Christ and a deep desire to be a man of honor, those men will reap the reward and benefit for themselves, their God, their family, their church, and their nation. And I just want to say that I'm part of the pastor's prayer group. We come down here once a month, and we're usually back there in the chapel just praying for all the men here and the speaker. We have prayed in our pastor's prayer group for, of course, as we've seen the substance addiction epidemic flare up in the last 10 years, pray for like recovery groups, and we've been blessed to see so many recovery groups, Celebrate Recovery, so on and so forth, spring up. But I'm like, God, what about a place for sex addicts? You know, like it's okay. What? It's okay to say like, oh, I'm a recovering substance addict, but it's not okay to say, well, I'm a recovering porn addict. That's like the taboo. That's what you can't talk about. So we've prayed for groups like that to spring up where men can challenge and encourage one another in this fight. And the good news is that today there are dedicated groups like this in Kokomo for those that want to maintain or find freedom in this area, where you can connect with others and receive expert teaching in this area. I'm glad to say Pastor Ned Sutherland is here from First Baptist in Rusheville, and him and Travis Tafflinger and a few other leaders have been instrumental in planting men's groups throughout our county that meet at different times and places where these issues can be addressed in private. This one is called the Conqueror Series, And it is a 10-week cinematic teaching featuring a godly man called Dr. Ted Roberts. Man, this guy is anointed. This guy's preaching is something else. But it's 10 video series, and in it he talks about his journey out of sexual addiction and some of the underlying hidden issues that people don't realize through the woundedness that many of us carry that needs to receive healing, and it's not just about trying harder. Does that make sense? So it's kind of like, has anybody been to Fight Club? It's kind of like Fight Club where this kind of an issues can be focused on. So men, I sincerely hope that this has inspired you. Whether you are 100% perfect in this area and need to step up and offer yourself to help other men, or whether you just need some encouragement today and sharpening in this area and being refreshed and reminded that this is an area that God calls us to, or whether you're here today and you're actually in active sexual addiction, there is help in Christ and in one another. And I thank you for your prayerful consideration of this issue. Thanks for listening to guys. I love you and God bless you. Ned has a flyer for the Conqueror groups and the next one that's coming up. If anyone is interested in helping or being helped or getting more information about that, it's all on the flyer. I've been blessed to be a part of that myself. Thank you for it.